The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
It's moving right along, as they say, middle of the week already. Zoom. Jay Widener is with us the first Wednesday of each month. Or is it the second? Well, anyway, he's on once a month. And he's standing by right now somewhere in the great state of Colorado. You there, Jay?
I am.
How are you?
I am good. How are you?
Good enough.
You sound like your energy's coming back.
It's taken a long time. That really beat the hell out of me. That was not easy.
That was the whole point.
Yeah, well, they wanted to go all the way, but they didn't get their wish. That time.
That's too bad. A lot of things are going bad for them. So.
Isn't it the truth? Yeah. We could do a whole program on that.
We may be, actually.
The late, great, and he passed away not too long ago, Yogi Berra said, among other things, he said, deja vu all over again. And there's this feeling that most of us have had where we've kind of things have happened before. Haven't we done this before? And Jay's going to talk about cycles. It's very interesting. And I can't wait to hear it because I tend to believe in this thing. And I don't know the particulars of it, but it makes sense to me because when you look at the historical record such as it is, you definitely can see cycles. And there's apparently a lot going on in that regard. Tell us.
Well, I just want to first say, well, first off, there are, I'm going to describe 7-year cycles, 10 of them, that occur between 1945 and 2015.
Uh-huh.
And Germany bookends both of these cycles. So keep that in mind as we go forward.
Very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. And, it started out, this whole thing started out with this guy, I don't know who he is, I think he's an economist, his name is Jonathan Kahn. They came out like a year ago talking about this Jewish thing called the 7-year cycle of the Shemitah, or Shemitah, I don't know how it's pronounced.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, you know, and then he says, oh, well, we're in the 7th of the 7th year, which would mean that this 7-year cycle that we're in right now, if it began 7 years, it began in 1966. And I went back to 66, and, yeah, there was a stock crash, and there was a bunch of other stuff, but it didn't look all that exciting as far as being the beginning of some kind of odd New World Order manipulation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then I started thinking, but wait a minute here. maybe what Jonathan Kahn is really doing is obfuscating another set of cycles, which is really much more important and much more revealing. And I began looking, and I began realizing that actually, if you go back to 1945 and you count 7 years, every 7 years, mm-hmm. forward mm-hmm. to now, you get a very interesting histogram of things. And there's always a kind of a massive theft or stealing or change in these seven-year periods. And we did note this before, by the way, on your show. I think it was in... I think it was in 2008, around there, 2009, where I talked about how the stealing of all of our money in the big crash, it was done in the same exact neighborhood and by the same exact people that did 9/11.
Right.
Yeah, so that's all part of this.
Yeah, and yeah, I sort of remember that.
Yeah.
Very vaguely, but yeah, there was a, you were trying to point out some kind of a repetition, a rhythm, or something.
Yeah, there's
like that.
I kept finding this kind of 7 year, but it really didn't solidify. And you know, Jonathan Kahn, you know, if indeed he was trying to obfuscate something that was going to become obvious, which is now what I believe,
so he was
did a pretty good job.
Us.
Yeah,
he
exactly. Which you know, that's exactly what they do.
They all do. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I went back and I started. You know, okay, what do I do? What would happen? Oh, I got to preface this also by saying that my earlier research into the Cross of Henday, unfortunately, I had to research into the Kabbalah. So I actually became quite knowledgeable about the Kabbalah while I was researching my book back in whatever that was, 96, whatever.
Yeah.
Long time ago. And, you know, so I actually know a lot about the Kabbalah. And since Kahn was trying to tell us that this was some kind of Jewish cycle where there's this 7 year cycle that ends at 49 years where there's a jubilee and everything is forgiven, blah, 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 I began thinking actually he was obfuscating the truth and that actually we were dealing with a 10 7-year cycle. It had nothing to do with a 7 7-year cycle. And that would make sense within the Kabbalah because the Kabbalah 10 is a huge number within the Kabbalah and so is 7. So now we had, you know, these two numbers, which are huge within the Kabbalah, which I will want to get into the Kabbalah because the Kabbalah is pure BS. And there's a huge secret within the Kabbalah and also other occult things, which will help us all understand what they are really doing to us. But I'll get to that later. I just want to get to this 7-year cycle now so you can understand.
Yeah.
So Germany is defeated. Germany stood against the New World Order, whatever it was at that time, and then Germany was completely defeated, and we understand what happened. And between the years of 1945, when it got defeated, and 1952, a lot of very, you know, interesting things happened that really solidified the New World Order. CIA was created in 47, NSA in 47, the UN in 47, a lot of things happened in 47. And then later, you know, Israel was created in 48. And anyway, this first 7-year cycle, 1945 to 1952, mm-hmm. was really the kind of period of solidification. And so in 1950...
Well, they didn't... One thing I want to note, Dan, you know this.
Go for it.
They didn't stop killing the Germans at the end of the war. They killed them right up to 1952-53, somewhere between 5 and 8 million.
Thank you.
Were slaughtered, liquidated. These were German nationalists.
As we go forward, everybody remember what Jeff just said, because that's exactly the bookends that I'm talking about. Okay? So 1945 to 1952 is the only 7-year period where something horrific doesn't happen at the end of it. So you got to kind of give me that one.
Sure. Okay?
Nothing really horrific outside of what happened to the Germans and the solidification of the New World Order through the national security state, which is horrifying enough. That's what happened in that time.
Yeah, and the installation of Eisenhower and the coming of the Atomic Energy Commission and all the rest
of
that crap.
Well, yes, and in some ways, the creating this idea that they had the weapon of God,
yeah.
that they could destroy
yeah.
anybody on Earth,
yeah.
which I'm actually beginning to wonder, I'll get to that later, but I'm beginning to wonder if that isn't somewhat theater too. But so we get to 52, and really, that's you're going to have to give me that first 7 year period as saying, okay, they decided not to punish us because they were getting everything they wanted. Okay,
I think you're right.
Yeah. So, but 52 to 59, now we're getting into something. We're getting, and everything that happens from here on out is worse. It's a worse theft, a worse crime than the one that precedes it.
Hmm.
So, 1959, we have what is generally called the Eisenhower Recession. And what I did was I just typed in 1959 economy, and I read all the news reports from the time period and put this all together. So mm. it was easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 1959 is what is called the Eisenhower Recession. It actually allowed Kennedy to be elected. And 1966, 7 years later, was a huge stock crash here in the United States. 1966, okay, now we go up forward. 1973, we've got the oil price crash. Remember the oil prices going up in
lines? Oh, long lines, sure.
Yep, okay, 1973. 1980, we go 7 years forward. The Carter recession got Reagan elected. Remember, 17% interest rates.
Sure.
Horrible time here in America. Okay, then we go 7 years more, 1987, Black Monday, the biggest stock drop in years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go 7 years more, 1994, the worst stock market in like 40 years. Then we hit 2001, we got the dot-com crash. Then we go 7 years more, we got 2008. You all know what happened then.
Yeah.
And now Nile, 2015. And what I'm contending to you and to your earnest listeners is that 2015 is the bookend of a 70-year, 7-year cycle of some kind of weird Kabbalah thing going on here, where now they are finishing off what began in 1945, and they're finishing off Europe. And it's clear and obvious to anybody looking that that is exactly what's going on. And we know who's funding these groups. It's the groups that were started in that time period between 1945 and 1952. Those are the groups that are funding. It's the UN. It's the CIA. It's the NSA. They're funding these people and letting them into the country. The EU was started as part of this thing to weaken the border security so that the people would overrun the borders. The whole thing is clearly obvious that we are dealing with what some would call an occult program that is being dosed out in these 7-year cycles, of which each cycle gets worse than the one before. Now, this cycle is not an economic cycle. You got to remember, it's not always economic. Sometimes it's personal. And this time, I guess it's personal. And they are finishing off first Germany and then anyone else who doesn't stand up to it. And it is jaw-dropping, it is astonishing, it is outrageous, and I don't know what to tell you, man.
Well, the so-called refugees, the so-called migrants, the illegals.
Army.
It's an absolute invasion.
It is an invading
sure.
army. You look at the videos yeah. of those people. They are between 18 and 25.
They're all fighting
They're all
age,
males. There's no women. There's no old people.
Yeah.
There's no children.
I've seen one picture with one child in it. I think once in a while you see a covered head, and that's it. You're 100% right. They've given these people the right to bring in between 4 and 8 extended family members, alleged family
yeah.
members.
Yeah.
Now, just multiply I think almost 1 million have come in so far. Multiply that by 8, and you have the biggest army the world has ever seen
yep.
moving into Europe.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's about time that somebody says this, because it is really, really concerning me. And it's also happening here. We have the Guatemala gangs and the Central American gangs, and they're moving into here with every intent and purpose of taking over the place.
What's really weird, Jay, is even Merkel admitted that multiculturalism doesn't work. That's a direct quote.
Wow.
And what is she doing to stop this? Nothing.
Oh, she's
a total traitor. They're giving these people lodging, food, the same old song and dance that we get told by our government has to be done here. We give these illegals preferential medical treatment, the best. We don't charge them. You know the story. Let's not go through it again. It's enough to make you puke.
Yeah.
Now, I just had a story up today. They're in apartment buildings in Germany. And what they do with their trash is they walk out on the balcony and dump it on the streets. It's just like there's no place like home. They're not going to meld into German society.
They're going to destroy it.
That's right. That's exactly right.
That's the whole purpose. Not just German. All of Europe has been targeted.
Well,
all of America and Canada has been targeted.
That's right. Scandinavia has no backbone. Norway, nothing.
What happened to the Vikings?
What happened? They're over. Done. The Swedes? Wimps. It's done. Yeah, it's trash time in Europe, and the Europeans are handcuffed by Brussels, i.e. the Rothschild International Banking Syndicate Cartel, whatever you want to call it, and the central banking system that runs the planet.
That's right.
It's obvious. You folks listening basically know this already.
All right, so I want to address this whole thing. So why are they doing this in these 7-year cycles that are clearly associated with the Kabbalah, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, is the Kabbalah this big magical science that they've got that can control us? And is it this incredible occult, you know, miracle that can be used to take our money and destroy our power? No. What the Kabbalah is it appears to be a cult, but it isn't. What it is it's a intel language. And I'm getting this, I give full credit to Miles Mathis, who is an incredible researcher.
That guy is a very provocative, easy to read, compelling writer. I had not read him, and I read one piece by him once, and thanks for sending those. They were really stimulating.
Yeah, and his whole thing about the occult and hermeticism, and it's exactly right. When Queen Elizabeth's astrologer, supposedly, John Dee, would go travel in Europe, he would, send back letters to, the royal family, and this is in 1500s, and it would be all about this occult stuff, like, gibberish, if you know
right.
what I mean.
Sure.
And everybody's, and so people have spent and written hundreds and hundreds of books about the occult value of all this stuff that is being written by people like Aleister Crowley and John Dee and all the Madame Blavatsky, and it's just intel. It's a code. It's not real. There's nothing real there. It's a code. It's intel. It's they're really talking about the court of King Rudolph, and they're couching it in occult terms so that anyone who intercepts the letters understands that this is just, they think, oh my God, they're caught up in the occult and astrology and magic and no, that's right. That's exactly what Mathis has really, I think, uncovered, is that 90% of the stuff that we think is occult is really just the way that intel speaks to each other. So there's a murderer, and the murderer has satanic overtones, let's say, right? Well, that's a way that the intel agencies are telling anyone in the know, don't worry, this is just us. You understand what I'm saying?
I do.
And the same thing is true with this Kabbalah thing. So anyone looking and then, in the inside and seeing that there's these 7-year cycles of robbery, which is what it is, let's face it, it will say, oh, that's the Kabbalah. Well, I know what group's doing that, so don't worry. They know.
Mm-hmm.
Where everybody else is like, what the hell? What's going on here? Like you and I, we're like, why would even anyone think of this kind of crap?
Sure.
But what's going on, and I really think that we need to start thinking in this kind of new fashion that maybe it isn't actually satanic. Maybe they want us to think it's satanic because that's the code words that they need to use, not that what they're doing is not completely satanic.
Well, it is.
Not that there's not a Satan, because there probably
right.
is at this
yeah.
point. So, you know, this is just what I'm trying to say to you tonight, is that there's like this much bigger thing going on with these occult signals that they send out than just kind of, ooh, they're scary Satanists. They're not. They're actually communicating with each other. And they're saying, oh, don't worry, you know, like when the Pope goes to visit Obama and they put out the photograph with Obama with the horns because of the, you know, that's like, you know, that's like a joke, an inside joke that they do.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right about that. That's
yeah.
They're just talking to each other.
And yeah, exactly.
I had this fellow on Zachary King several times.
And, oh, yeah.
And he made that point that they have their own culture.
Yep.
They have their own language. They have their own understandings of things that they don't really have to spend much time talking to each other about because they're into it. They're there. Who's this Jonathan Kahn? K, is that K-A-H-N?
Yeah, I don't know who he is. He came out about 8 months ago and started talking about the Shemitah, which is this Jewish law about every 7 years. There's this cycle, which in some ways, you know, is kind of an interesting idea. I think the fact that every 49 years, you know, all debts are forgiven and everybody's let out of jail except for violent criminals and, you know, the rich people have to give up everything and everything starts back. I don't say that that's a bad thing. It's actually kind of an interesting idea.
No, this has supposedly happened in the past?
Yeah, it's Jewish law from the old days. In Israel.
Oh, okay.
They would do this every 49 years.
Uh-huh.
And they thought that it was like a
cleansing.
Yeah, cleansing. And it's really not a bad idea. It wouldn't work today because there's so much crime and bad people.
No.
No.
But nice idea. Just wipe the slate clean. Let's start over. That's
yeah, right. And so he was kind of saying that that was what was going on. Well, this is the 49-year thing. And that is not true. I don't know why he's saying that. And he's kind of backed off since he started saying it. And but it did get me on the path of looking at these 7-year cycles and seeing that they go all the way back to 1945. And that it's like every 7 years, we're going to rip you off. And that's what it looks like to me from a zoomed back, you know, view of the history of the last 70
well,
years.
Well, we really should spend more time rewinding the game and looking at it. We might figure things like this out. And if it's true, it doesn't have to mean that it's controlling the planet, but it's here. And certainly there's a lot going on that is occult, which is what the word means, hidden, that we'll never know about. And this is interesting. I just wonder why he would bring this out at all and try to hide it with misdirection rather than just leave it alone. Unless his ego pushed him to do it or something. It's odd. Very odd. Interesting stuff. All right, we'll be right back with Jay. Hold on. Longer before somebody writes what we could call a at least quasi-definitive essay and analysis of how this entire illegal immigrant army was caused to form up, how the infrastructure was assembled to allow the transport of these people to actually occur. Yeah, a few hundred have drowned in the Mediterranean, we understand that. but only about 10% of them are said to be actual Syrians. Now, that's one story. It might be maybe 25% are Syrians, but it's well known from profiling these masses that sub-Saharan Africans don't come from Syria. This is a mixed army, and they're sitting on rules and regulations to govern them already, which allow them, as I said, to bring in between 4 and 8 of their extended family, friends, associates. This is a death sentence for what's left of an already beaten up and mugged Europe. It's over. Now, this is a fantastic tragedy for the planet. Europe, the countries there, each individual, each with its own 1,500 to 2,000-year history, depending on which one you look at, some less than that. All of the culture, all of the politics, all of the science, all of the literature, all of the architecture, it's all going to be steamrolled. Look what the Muslims did in Palmyra in Syria. Look at what they did to other ancient artifacts of great beauty and worth for a number of reasons. They blew into pieces.
They're going to do the same thing, Jeff. They're going to run through the Louvre.
Thank you. You are so right. They're going to they're going to chop David into pieces.
They're going to take Mona Lisa and cut it up and burn it. I'm sorry, folks, but that's what's about to happen.
And you just wait. And if you think all these people, 95% of them seemingly are male of 18 to 25-ish, you think they're going to be peaceful? And what's wrong with Mrs. Merkel? What's wrong with her head? Why aren't these people standing up and saying, no, the governor of Bavaria in Germany is. He's saying, no, they're not coming here. He's the only German I've heard yet stand up and say it. No, they've got to go back. Now, over here, we've got Donald. And if Donald is placed in the presidency, inserted, you know, he has to be chosen. That's the way the game is played here. It's all
he
fixed.
Won't be.
Probably not. But if he is, he's going to get rid of all these people, send them back to their country of origin. And I say charge the country of origin with the costs.
Absolutely.
Eisenhower did it as president, and it worked. It was probably his greatest achievement. Operation Wetback.
That was the name, yes.
That's right. And we have one half, Jay, talk about invading armies. We have one half of the population of Mexico now illegally up here in the U.S. One half the population of another country. This isn't their army or their navy or whatever they have. This is the whole damn country, half of it.
Oh, they're invading. Jeff, I live in a neighborhood that 4 years ago was 95% white.
Uh-huh.
And now it's about 65% white in 3 years.
You know, that's very important. And I want to add that there's something that they understand intuitively about the Caucasian race that is a fatal flaw.
It is.
Most Caucasians are too damned nice for their own good. I don't want them to stop being nice. I'm nice.
I have no problem with people of another race moving into my neighborhood. But my problem is
none
of them want to do and live the life.
They don't want to honor anything that we have done.
No.
And that's not to, for a moment, sidestep the issues of Europeans coming over here and destroying the indigenous population. Horrible, horrible beyond words.
Yeah.
And to memorialize it with Columbus Day is dumb. But it's all dumb. Now, I don't know how the white race, the Caucasian race, is going to survive and end up being much less than almost a parenthetical footnote to the general societal structure that we're going to be stuck with. You got 40 to 45 million illegals here, most of which are Latino. Now, if these people want jobs, a lot of them can go back to their own countries because there's a labor shortage. In Mexico, when half the populace leaves, there has to be.
Well, I mean, I think that Trump is right. I'm pretty damn sure they're leaders of Mexico and probably every other Central American country is going into the prisons and saying, hey, you know, I open the gate for you if you go El Norte. And they say, fine, I'll go. And that's what's going on. And let's face it, all those people are probably criminals. And if you say that, you know, Trump probably should have worded it a little more like I'm wording it, because it clearly makes positive sense for these governments to send their criminals. I mean, it costs them. I mean, if a criminal costs us $120,000 a year to incarcerate, you know, it costs the same in these other countries, no matter what, you know, their economy. And so, you know, they're going, hey, man, I can get rid of all these guys, save all this money. And then that's what's going on. And
well, that's not to say that
it's crazy.
Right. It's not to say either, of course, that all the Mexicans up here are criminals, but we're getting the dregs, the bottom half of basically of their society. They're getting rid of a lot of people who are at the bottom. And then we have a bottom. We have a lower class too, a lowest. We're about to have a two-tiered lower class.
We are.
And the upper tier is going to be what's left of the middle class. They're being reduced.
That's right. And then the rest will be the poor blacks are getting no help. The African Americans are getting no help from anybody.
No, they can't take care of themselves, and they are entitlement oriented, largely because they can't have the opportunities that the rest of us have.
Well, they're not allowed. The Democrats have them
in
a place where they're slaves, essentially,
to
the government.
You're not allowed to say that, Jay. Sorry.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry, but you know, I'm sorry. I love black people and African Americans, but I mean, it makes my heart break when I see what's happened to them because
they've been marginalized and taken down, and it happened in the 50s. In the early 50s,
that's right, because you and I are both old enough to remember the proud black people that
I've studied this and watched it. And you remember people like, I'm not pointing at anyone in particular, but they used to dress nicely like the rest of us. They made an effort to blend in. They were Americans. Look at the heroic service in World War II that our black Americans gave. It's just amazing. And in the 50s, the late 50s, early 60s, what happened? They were steered, and I don't mind saying it, basically, back up the trees, the social, cultural, literary trees of ignorance, of failure to learn, to speak and write and educate their own and themselves. Now, there are wonderful exceptions to that, but generally speaking, they made practically a U-turn in the early 60s and went right back where they came. They were on the road. They were on their way in the 50s. And they were right there. And you go back and look at some of the newsreel footage and see how they dressed and how they behaved and acted and spoke good English. They didn't talk this ghetto garbage. And then they were led away, turned away from it. Very sad for them, all of them, who are stuck in that milieu now, and it's going nowhere. Okay, back in a minute. Okay, back with Jay Widener. On with us the first of the month, second Wednesday to be exact, each month. In the 1950s, the African Americans were on their way to total assimilation and moving into the mainstream. And then they were turned away from it and taken away from it. And I'm not saying they all had to dress like their Caucasian brothers and sisters, but they were, and they were, that helped them assimilate, helped them with social mobility.
Still
there. They were on the way. Yeah, yeah, it would still work. But
no, it, you're exactly right with your time period also. It actually is the early 60s that, and this just didn't happen with.
When they brought out affirmative action, Jay, that told them that they were inferior and they needed extra care, and that implanted that whole psychology in their mind that they were due and owed things, and that it just poisoned the whole thing.
Well, you know, it didn't just happen there. It also happened. I happen to know, you know, some people in California, which I'm, you know, quite familiar with, kind of the culture of California, especially Southern California. And, you know, up until about 1962-63, the white people and the Latinos got along really quite well. And they would have,
agreed. Thank you.
And the Latinos would invite the white people to their, you know, their Cinco de Mayo's and the Rancheros parades and in California.
Well, they had the Fiesta parade in Santa Barbara.
Exactly. You're exactly what I was talking about. Thank you for reading my mind. And but then about 1962, 1963, in that period, they stopped inviting the white people. And it was the infiltration of the Marxists into the Latino movements, and telling them that
they took it over. Yeah.
They did, and they did the same thing with the black movements, the churches, and you know, it was sad. But I mean, I believe the blame completely on the Marxists. So,
well, and the Marxists are whom? Let's take it and help people understand: socialism, communism, Marxism, Bolshevism, Zionism.
All-ism.
That's right. All the isms.
Yep.
All connected at the same ugly, malignant root.
Yep. And that was where I started this program at, is this kind of weird magic. It's not magic at all, actually. It's a plan. And the plan is revealed by the nature of their symbols. And we are now beginning to figure out, it may be too late, and maybe that's why they're upping the game and invading and Germany and Spain and England and France. You are being invaded. You are being invaded by an army that will destroy you.
You people,
and you need to stop the invasion.
You people listening in Europe right now, probably many of you already know this all too well, and we're preaching to the choir. But unless you get active and stop this, you're done.
Now, you're done.
Joseph Stalin had 1 million, approximately, troops lined up getting ready, and they were going to roll right through Europe to the English Channel in 1942 or 41, and Hitler launched Operation Barbarossa and went and circled them, cut them off, and decapitated the whole thing, saved Europe for another 4 years, from 41 to 45. It was lost. Germany was publishing very interesting materials in 43 and 44. If we lose the war, this is what's going to happen. And they called it perfectly. This was known. These were very smart people. And I'm so sick and tired of watching the controlled Bolshevik Zionist socialist media constantly castigating the evil Nazis. All right, look, like them or not, Germany was fighting against the New World Order, and what we are faced with is our controllers and our keepers right now. That's the fact of the matter. Hitler knew what was coming. The German leadership knew. There were some bad people in there, we know that, but nonetheless, there were worse people running the opposition, right? The Rothschilds, the Bolsheviks. Remember, the Russian Revolution was fought from the outside. They sent the Zionist Jews in there, and they conducted and organized the whole thing. It wasn't Russians.
No, and if you, that's absolutely right. Solzhenitsyn wrote about this quite extensively. And again, I call your audience's attention to the film on YouTube, The Czechist, which really does show you what these people are going to do when they take over. And you do not want to be there when that happens, because it is seriously ugly. And I fear that's what's coming. And in fact, I kind of know it's coming. And it worries
me. Well, I don't know how it cannot. We all know that the ultimate, we call it an aphrodisiac, but it's a power trip. And these people, how much is too much? They can never get enough.
It's
and
tribal,
they,
man.
They I will think, kill us all rather than give up their control.
That's exactly right. And I'm I think we're reaching this point. The 2015, I think, is their culminating year. They intend to finish off the destruction of Europe. The United States is proving to be a little bit tougher, but not that much tougher, to finish off. Some people are rising up like Trump, who are, is kind of our Putin, and, you know, calling the shots and saying, you know, who are these people that we're supporting in Syria? These rebels, what do they stand for? And Putin is getting in front of the UN, I mean, saying things that are absolutely shocking, unbelievable. Yesterday, he called out the United States again on who are we funding here, and obviously saying that ISIS is our proxy army. 2 years ago, Putin, you know, said to the United States, if you go into Syria, you're going to be fighting me. So we backed off like the wimps we usually are, and we created a proxy army called ISIS. This is the truth.
Yeah.
And Putin knows it. He got in front of the UN, and he said it.
Yeah.
And a lot of that was mistranslated. And if you look at the real translations, you can see that it was much more exact in his language.
Well, he said, don't you know what you've done?
Exactly.
That was an incredible quote.
It
a
is.
Monumental quote.
It was like an adult, you know, talking to a little child about, you know, the That's idiocy right. of their actions.
Right.
And it was a truly astonishing moment. And, you know, Putin almost makes you believe, you know, there is a supreme creator, that there is somebody to step in here and be an adult and straighten this thing out. And I don't know if Trump is real or not, but if he keeps talking like he's talking, he's going to shatter the matrix here in America, too, whether he wins or not. And so the whole thing is very interesting. I mean, Trump's on Fox News, and they're saying, how dare you say that nice things about Putin? He's bombing our rebels. And Trump just slips right into, well, who are these rebels? What do they stand for? Exactly what Putin is saying. It's uncanny, and it's weird. And
good point. Thank you for that,
yeah,
too. Yeah,
it is. It's like the truth is just breaking out, and they can't suppress it anymore. And we got your plan, folks. We understand. You guys want to destroy the Middle East. You want to take it over and make this, you know, a huge greater country in the Middle East. And every time that someone tries to stop you, you set up a proxy army. You funded ISIS. We know who you are. It was the CIA that did it. It was the NSA that did it.
Yeah, and who has not been attacked one time? The Bolshevik Zionists in Israel, and they're
exactly,
not going to be.
Of course.
How many rebels? How many migrants, illegals, have they taken in? Zero. How many are they going to take in? Zero.
How many did Saudi Arabia take in?
Zero.
Zero. The same thing. I mean, you look at all the Middle Eastern countries. Nobody's taken in these migrants. This is an invasion. Period.
You people in Europe, you better wake up. You got almost a million man army in there already.
It's time. You can listen, Europe. You can send those people back. You can charge the countries that sent those people mm-hmm. money for sending them there, and then you can charge those countries to send those people back. And you need to do that. You cannot leave those people in Europe. You will destroy your country. You will destroy your culture. And it's time to wake up. This is a war, and you are the victims, and you need to wake up. Quit being stupid liberals.
They're never the obvious thing, and I don't want to belabor this, they're never going to assimilate. Never. It's not going to happen. They'll ghettoize everything. There'll be no-go zones for the police. You can see it all laid out. We're already seeing it in Detroit here, one prime case in point. It isn't going to change. Man, just think about it. Who gave them the permission to bring in 4 to 8 of their own extended family? Who did this? Who set this up? That's what I'm not seeing in the media.
They won't tell you anywhere.
No.
They won't tell you. They won't tell you. Okay. So there's this reporter, I think his name is Richard Dingell or something like that. He's a reporter for CBS.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see this on YouTube. And he's in the refugee camp in, I don't know where, Hungary, Syria, somewhere. And he's talking on the camera, and, you know, he's saying, oh, my God, all these refugees. And, of course, they're all males, except one female. And Google Richard, I think his name is Dingle, Richard Dingle, CVS refugees. And this girl, she comes forth and she falls right in front of the camera. She's pregnant. The only woman that you see. Mm-hmm. And he saves her. Mm-hmm. On camera. Mm-hmm. It's astonishing. Mm. It's so bullshit. Oh, excuse my French.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is what's going on. They're trying to
just a prop, a stage prop.
Just a stage prop. All fake. All fake. Unbelievable.
We got here, just not to belabor the point, we don't have time to do that because we're out of time, but the debate, so-called debate last night, despite CNN's propaganda that Hillary won. Most polls are showing, I don't really give a damn, but that Bernie Sanders won 73-16 or something.
I believe that.
And the other three, what are they even doing on the stage? They're just window dressing.
Yep.
It's a question of, are they going to install Hillary or not? Will she be indicted or not? If she's indicted, she's done. I don't know. Did we see a ticket there last night? Sanders, Clinton? I don't know. She won't settle for second best, so it had to be Clinton Sanders. But I saw a man last night, Bernie Sanders, hunched over the microphone, poor posture, arms flailing.
Grandpa.
Grandpa on speed. And then I saw Hillary at least acting composed and very steely. And I don't like Hillary Clinton at all, as you all know. But, I mean, seriously, who do you believe? CNN or the people that say CNN is lying and they present? Polls are one of the biggest frauds of our time. So rule one is you can't take a poll seriously. It's all corruptible. Eminently, going in, they can corrupt it. So anyway, a final note, Jay?
Peace to the world. Let's hope that Putin destroys ISIS.
Isn't that the truth?
Yep.
We sure haven't. He said something the other day or today about what have the Americans been doing there for the last year? And the answer is obvious. All right, Jay, you take care. Thanks for the insights. Interesting conversation as always. We'll talk next month.
Thanks, man.
Okay, good night. Jay Widener, and that's Hour One, and we will be back.